on. We're going to call this meeting to order. This is the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency, TPA Executive Committee meeting, and this is Tuesday, May 3rd. It's a little after 3 o'clock. I apologize. Can we have a roll call, please? Margie, I got you out of your seat.
I know. You got me. Normally, I'm prepared. Okay. So, Joel Flores?
Present.
Maria Marino?
Present.
Michael Napoleon? I'm here. Chelsea Reed?
Here.
Robert Weinroth?
I'm here.
We have a quorum in person, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any modifications to the agenda?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'm looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, I'm going to have the Mayor Flores as the motion maker and Mayor Reed as the seconder. All in favor, all opposed. It is approved unanimously. Let's move on. Review the committee's charge. All right, let's see. It says, pursuant to the TP operating procedures, section 224, 22F2, the executive committee shall meet as necessary to review recommended content related to TPA initiatives, e.g. the 561 mobility plan, the Vision Zero plan, transportation surtax funding strategies, and other plans and strategies for consideration by the governing board. I guess we all know what we're doing here. All right, let's move on to general comments. Do we have any general comments? Do we have any cards?
No, Mr. Chair.
By the way, do we have anybody participating online?
Yes, we do.
Who is that?
We have TPA staff, and then we also have, hold on, I need to make this full screen. Someone, Daniel Crotty from Transit and Mobility, SEPI Inc.
Okay. All right, and we all five of us are in person today. Mayor Flores, it's nice to have you here.
And then we also do a live stream on our website, but I don't have that data right now.
Okay, very good. Any comments from...
And I'm sorry, yes, our attorney, Paul, and Bob Slavin as well.
Is Mr. Slavin on? Oh, okay, very good. All right, any comments from members? I have nothing to say.
No one believes that.
It's been a long day. I've been talking since 9:30 this morning. All right. Valerie, would you like to make any comments?
Sure. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for making time to stop by. I know we saw each other recently. I do have a quick report for you. Go to the next slide. Thank you. All right. Happy National Bike Month. We're in May, so that's really exciting. The Bike League website has a ton of activities and things that you can do to celebrate in your community. So I know we celebrate in March, but here's another chance to celebrate. Next Tuesday, we're having our Okeechobee Boulevard and State Road 7 Multimodal Corridor Study Workshop. If you can stop by, it'll be in the afternoon here from 2 to 4. We're also doing a virtual workshop for Vision Zero for our local municipalities with the National Vision Zero Network next Friday in the afternoon. I mentioned the peer exchange that we're planning at the last time we met. We actually found new dates that work for a few more people, including our chair and vice chair, but also we're trying to have Clinton and Virginia join us from the county side. So trying to find those dates and also working with their CEO of their transit agency. So the new dates are September 28th to 30th. So please save the date. I'm going to be emailing the board at large and asking who would be interested in attending. And based on that response, work on a travel policy and resolution to bring to the full board for approval.
We're looking for like 8 to 10 people in total?
In total, yeah. So from the board, looking for about 5 to 7 board members, and then also representatives from our transit agencies and from possibly someone from the economic development community here in Palm Beach County. So really excited for that. Also, Mayor Weinroth, our chair, had a great idea to have the TPA send out, we do our biweekly newsletter, but he also requested that we send out email to the board on Mondays, just recapping local transportation articles that came out in the past week from our local newspapers. So that's something that we're going to try and start next Monday as a recap of transportation news happening. And I wanted to give you an update that we have new staff. So we have a new transportation planner, one on the multimodal development team. Valentina's here. Valentina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Valentina Facuz. I'm the new planner one for the multimodal development team here at the CPA. I have some experience in the public and private sector. I used to work for the city of Boca Raton, so I'm excited to be here. So thank you, everyone.
And we're very happy to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Valentina's graduating on Friday with her master's from FAU in planning and a specialization in GIS. So excited for that skill set. And on Monday, we have a transportation planning intern starting with us. They're going to be here for 3 months until July. It's actually a paid fellowship by FDOT. They are in their first, finishing up their first year of their master's in planning at FSU and currently doing a fellowship with Star Metro Transit in Tallahassee. And they sought to, they actually are a resident of Wellington. They're from Palm Beach County, but they really wanted to come do an internship at the TPA. So we're welcoming that extra win-win so that they can learn from us and we can have their help as well. Mayor Flores? Oh, sorry.
The two workshops, I saw they're both at between 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Who are we trying to get input from? Who's the workshop geared for?
So the Okeechobee Corridor workshop, we've done a few different strategies. We did, we rode the corridor, we went to a green market, we did an online workshop. I believe it was almost a month long for people to participate in that way. And we also did an evening workshop. So now we're doing an afternoon one, hoping that folks that weren't able to participate in the other opportunities are able to come. It's more a recap, mostly hoping to have our partners show up, our local transportation partners, municipal partners that are involved, come and basically we're presenting where we're at, which is pretty far along, but the alternatives, what we heard, what we're proposing as a recommended alternative.
And the Vision Zero, that's geared for?
Vision Zero is geared for staff at local municipalities because we're trying to encourage them to adopt Vision Zero and next steps and opportunity to ask questions from other municipalities. And yeah.
So it's not geared for residents?
No, it's more so an educational opportunity.
The timing is adequate. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the interim executive director's report? You have any comments, Margie, from the participants online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good. All right, I'm assuming everybody's had a time or a few moments to look at the meeting minutes from April 12th, 2022. I'll accept a motion to approve.
So moved.
I have a motion by the Vice Chair. I have a second by Mayor Flores. All in favor, all opposed? It is approved 5-0. Thank you. All right, our action item, item 2A. Just let me preface this by saying we have several entities putting together legislative agendas, and I think it's getting a little cumbersome. We have the MPOAC, which is a statewide organization, which essentially is supposed to be a homogenizing influence of everything that is necessary for the state. We, of course, have the county, which puts together its own legislative agenda. So as we now have Ms. Nielsen present this item, I think that the recommendation I would make to the full board would be that we not have our independent legislative agenda, but that if we have items of importance to us, that we pass them to the MPOAC and to Todd Von Laren at the county and have those embraced at those two levels so that we don't have three competing legislative agendas. That being said, Valerie, would you make your presentation?
Sure. Thank you for the overview of similar to what I'm going to present. So we, in our last strategic plan, we said we're going to advocate for and adopt legislative and policy positions. Our fiscal year is coming, is soon, will be over at the end of June. So this is something that we wanted to bring to the board. And we brought it to the committees at the end of, I believe in February, right? February, March. And there was a lot of discussion. And I thought, let's take a step back and actually think about, is this worth doing? So I wanted to get your thoughts. It is a strategic plan item that we said we were gonna do. We did it for the first time in 2021, but we haven't done much with it. So we do have a contract with Holland & Knight for federal legislation in DC. They're basically tracking updates, giving us guidance on questions we might have. But we're part of the MPOAC, the Metropolitan Planning Council Advisory Committee. We participate in their process to develop legislative policies and priorities. So every year at the next meeting in July, they're going to have a technical workshop for their for this, and then they're going to adopt it at the next quarterly meeting. And they advocate on behalf of all the MPOs at the state level. So I asked around, and basically the response I got was that unless you're paying a lobbyist, because MPOs aren't allowed to lobby. So unless you're paying someone to be in Tallahassee to advocate for something or lobby for something very specific, then it's better to just be part of the MPOAC process and be in line with them. So we do try to provide feedback as policies and standards are presented from the federal, state, regional level, and try and influence that process. But I wanted to bring this to your attention to say, is it worth doing? Do we want to continue to adopt our own? And if so, what do we want to do with it? Or should we just adopt or be in line with MPOAC and just be part of that process? So our recommendation is that until we have something very specific that we as a TPA is trying to advocate or is ready to advocate for, then I would say that we should be part of the MPOAC process. And we can share those with the board. We have the report from this year that is published and be engaged in that process. And then if there's anything specific, then we can, the board can assign the executive director or staff to look into specific issues and use our lobbyists that we have on contract as needed. But it's just something that if we were gonna bring this through the whole process again and actually adopt, then I wanna make sure that we have clear actions versus just talking about it and then not taking any clear actions on it. Yes.
Mayor Flores.
Yes.
So how is this funded right now? Is that part of the municipal that each pay a fee? Is that
the Holland and Knight consultant that we have in DC is funded through our local fees, and they're here to provide our municipalities and us any guidance on right now isn't anything they're specifically pushing specifically for us, but they're here to answer questions for our municipalities. We did a webinar with them to talk about the RAISE grants and what it means for us locally. So they're basically kind of tracking what's happening in DC and providing guidance, answering questions.
I guess my feedback would be, I'm willing to put this aside, pause it, table it, however you want to, and then give that new executive director, whatever ends up happening down that path, giving them the opportunity, if this is something that they want to engage with, giving them that flexibility. But I'm willing to pause it right now. I mean, if the MPOAC is sort of already doing what we're meaning to do, then I don't have an issue with that.
Okay. Again, my feeling is the same as yours, as far as I don't think we need to be having a separate agenda or a separate list of objectives. I think MPOAC is certainly the proper vehicle. Mayor Pinto is our representative up there. Valerie goes up as well for the executive director's portion of the meeting. I think Holland and Knight certainly is a vehicle for us to continue to understand what grant opportunities are available. I think the bipartisan infrastructure bill is going to afford us a lot of opportunities going forward, and we want to know about those as soon as they are available. So if is Holland and Knight going to be the vehicle, or are we doing that internally, identifying grant opportunities?
We're monitoring. Holland and Knight is letting us know about opportunities that arise. We're trying to share that information. A lot of the funding is for projects that are ready to go. So we need to be really ripe and already ready to hit the ground. And that's something that we've struggled with our existing funding. So it's we have grant programs as is, and we need more projects that are ready to go. So, but we're monitoring that. They're there to help us with any questions that we have as well.
during our meeting that we just recessed, the Board of County Commissioners, one of the comments that actually several residents came to us complaining about the condition of the roads between West Palm Beach and the Glades. And I think that we're going to have to see how we can find the money for that. And I think the bipartisan infrastructure bill will be the vehicle, because we're talking about some major capital improvements needed on that roadway. So, you know, we'll be talking about that. I'm sure Commissioner McKinley will bring that forward at one of our future meetings. Not seeing any further discussion, I think that we will recommend to the full board that we will not continue with a legislative agenda per se, but that we will, if we have items that are of importance to us, incorporate those in the MPOAC's legislative agenda and ensure that the county is aware of what's important to us. I see no objections, a couple of nodding heads, and so we'll move forward. Okay.
For clarification, should I bring this to the full board and
I think you need to. I think until the full board blesses this, I think we still have the objective up on your things to do.
Okay.
And I think we owe to the full board to let them know of this change in philosophy.
Okay.
All right. We are now at item 2B. 2B or not to be. All right, this is a motion to recommend approval of an amendment to the TPA operating procedure. Do you want to make a presentation on this, Valerie?
Yes. So one of the items in our strategic plan was to take a look at our advisory committees and modify them if needed to support TPA initiatives. So we haven't looked at them in a while. So it was to review that. So that's what this item is.
All right. I guess the first thing we have to ask ourselves, are we still satisfied with the way these committees are being configured? Do they have a direction or a mission? Do they know what they're supposed to be doing? Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? Are these meetings running correctly? Can you give a sort of an overview of what do we have, three advisory committees?
I have a presentation to tell you a little bit about each of them. So,
okay.
We have three advisory committees. We also have our Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board, but that's separate because that's through a grant that we get from the state to oversee that. So with our advisory committees, which basically serve as a realm to present things that come to the board, before they come to the board, they get to see them and provide input on them. So we have a required technical advisory committee, a required citizens advisory committee, and then we have the Vision Zero advisory committee. It's not required, but it's more of a best practice. So the technical advisory committee, or the TAC, is made up of technical staff, mostly planners and engineers. They review, they provide technical guidance on the things that come to the board, and per the statute, it must include planners, engineers, aviation authorities, port authorities, public transit, school district, and affected local governments. So things that they do, they review the long-range transportation plan, performance measures, our priorities projects lists, our transportation improvement program, our unified planning work program. They review our objective scoring system for our local initiatives grants and our state road modification grant programs. And other studies. There's no limit on the number of members and the members on this committee, so there can be more members that are not on the MPO board, but members have to make a request to the board to get appointment. So our current membership is 25 members. We recently got the town of Lake Park that wanted to be part of this planning process. They were recently added and approved by the board. We've heard that the city of Westlake is interested in getting on the board. So this is mostly engineers, planning staff, technical staff from these municipalities that want to be part of the process in an advisory way. In looking at this committee, we aren't recommending any changes. The only thing in the operating procedures to be consistent is adding this language, which is something that they're already doing, which is reviewing the objective scoring that the board adopts every year to rank project applications submitted for funding through our local initiatives grant program and our state road modifications grant program. Both of these are our larger pots of money, about $20 million each, that we ask for applications for from the county, from local municipalities, for transportation grants, state road modifications only on the state road system. So In 2016, the TPA adopted objective scoring, and this helps us move towards our performance measures that we have to report on. And so this is an annual thing that the board adopts and they get to review and provide input on. So it's more of a, we didn't mention it in here, so mentioning it because it is something that they do.
I was just going to say one of the issues I think that, and I'm sure you're going to bring it up, is that the committee has been wrestling with the issue of this objective scoring, and they are looking for greater latitude to reprioritize based on more subjective than objective criteria. And the question is whether we allow them to basically give us two recommendations, one based upon the objective criteria and one based upon some other subjective criteria. And you want to,
well, actually that's not this committee, but this okay. committee, they just review the objective scoring.
Okay.
The TPA, based on the objective scoring, yes, no answers, you're in an area that someone there was a fatality or a serious injury, and you're fixing a safety problem, you get points. You're in a disadvantaged area, you get points, yes or no. So they just review the objective scoring, but they don't re-rank this committee. We also have the Citizens Advisory Committee, which is responsible for providing a citizen's eye, a view of ongoing transportation issues in Palm Beach County. Again, most of the same things that come to the board come to them. This has to reflect a broad cross-section of local residents, obviously with an interest in helping us achieve our vision of a efficient, safe, and cost-effective transportation system. And it must have minorities, the elderly, handicapped must be adequately represented. We need to aim for diversity in this representation of our citizens. So this committee, again, reviews transportation plans, shares concerns. We have currently the membership, each of our board members appoints a member on this committee. We currently have two vacancies, but we're hoping to have two of those filled at the next board meeting. So we have two candidates that are in the pipeline, but currently five vacancies. And again, board members are required to ensure representation of minorities, elderly, and persons with disabilities on this committee. And we also, hope to represent environmental, business and construction and development, freight and goods, private transportation, general public as part of this, as part of the membership for this committee. We do a survey of the committee to track this representation. Currently, we have four minorities, seven elderly, and one person with a disability. And we try to encourage our board members to choose appointments that emphasize the diversity. This is the most common process used by other MPOs to meet these requirements. So we survey the committee to self-identify. This is our current membership. So the board members that have appointed someone on to our Citizens Advisory Committee and the vacancies that we have. As I mentioned that we have two that should be coming to our next board meeting to fill. That's the Port of Palm Beach and the City of Riviera Beach that we're hoping that those will work out. But Mayor Flores, if you have anyone in mind, please send our way. So this was a discussion in the Citizens Advisory Committee in terms of is the way that this committee, the way that it's handled, is it appropriate? Should there be any changes to it? It's pretty standard the way it is. It's consistent with Miami-Dade TPO, the way we have our committee. Basically every board member gets to appoint a citizen to represent. But we did do a survey of the Citizens Advisory Committee. Overall, it was positive. They did wonder about other municipalities that are not represented on the board, not having a CAC member, should they or not. They asked to prioritize vacancies and expand recruitment potentially. Like, does the board want to have specific advocacy groups be allowed on this committee? If an advocacy group says that they want to be on the committee, would they be able to be allowed? Or other recruitment strategies? And they did request in the survey that the board please be mindful of who they appoint so that we have some more diversity on the committee. I know we have a former CAC member who's now our vice chair, so she has experience with this committee as well. we at the staff level, based on the feedback that we got and based on how the committee is operating, we're not proposing any specific changes to the operating procedures. We think it's fine as it is. We're open to the board, obviously, to the feedback and changes the board would like, but we aren't specifically recommending any changes. We do want to work on recruitment strategies to try to fill those vacancies that we have, and work with our governing board members to represent and encourage the diverse membership. One of the things that we've been talking about and that we're going to do is to send all of our current board members, basically, here's our three committees, here are your appointments or vacancies, here's their terms, here's when they're up for reappointment, and if you want to reappoint someone or change before they're up for a renewal, this is how you do it. So just to inform our board, because I think in some of the conversations I've had, some of the board members weren't even aware of the three committees. So just as a reminder.
I would include the attendance for those members for less than 12 months so that someone knows before they reappoint whether they're really interested in serving.
All right, the third committee is our Vision Zero Advisory Committee, which was formerly known as our Bicycle Trailways Pedestrian Advisory Committee, the BTPAC. And they serve in an advisory role, primarily focused on pedestrian and bicycle. We renamed them to really try to refocus on our Vision Zero Action Plan and the pedestrian bicycle safety actions in that plan, and give more of a focus on safety since it's such a priority for us. And the members consist of representatives from local governments, law enforcement, fire rescue services, school district, health department, active transportation advocacy groups, and basically anyone who wants to get appointed, asks to get appointed, we bring it to the board. So no set number of members. They have to, if a member wants to be added, they have to make that request to the governing board and get approved. And they basically review the same things that the other committees do. The only, and so here's the membership. We have currently 18 members. We recently had a new appointment from the City of Lake Worth Beach CRA. We didn't have any representation from City of Lake Worth Beach. And we're trying to get some more of our municipalities to be represented on this committee as well. And also trying to find representatives for law enforcement and fire rescue services. For this committee, the mayor or chair referenced in terms of scoring and re-ranking. So this committee previously, before we had objective scoring, this committee had basically our third grant program, which is our transportation alternatives program. It's about $3 million a year. Those applications that we received, we brought them to this committee and they objectively scored them as whoever was able to attend that day. We held a workshop and they scored them and ranked them in the order that they felt was the best order for the projects. In 2016, when we adopted objective scoring, that's yes, no answers to advance certain the goals that we're trying to advance in terms of performance measures. There was some resistance because they really enjoyed having that opportunity to re-rank. So the way that we tried to find a middle ground was we'll objectively score them, but we'll present them to you. And then if you want to re-rank them, they re-rank them. They requested to re-rank them and put them in their order with the objective score next to it, and then present it to the board for adoption in that way. I want to bring that to the attention of the board just because I want to confirm that's something that the board wants to continue doing. There's a couple different alternatives. There's one that is have a separate workshop for them to discuss this and have applicants come and present their applications to them, which is what is currently the process, or have briefly present the projects to them in terms of during a regular meeting and the way that they ranked, and if they would like to re-rank, we can present both rankings to the board as two separate tables or combined as it is now. But I wanted to just bring this to the attention of the board if that's something that the executive committee and the board would like to continue having their expertise re-rank or stick to the objective scoring or see both opinions. And so in the technical advisory committee, we added this language because it's something that they do. They do opine on the objective scoring system every year. They do not re-rank. And this committee has the opportunity to re-rank. So that's just something that I would like your feedback on in terms of what the executive committee would like.
And clearly this is a optional committee, so we have a little flexibility. Vice Chair?
Just a couple of basic questions. So for each of the advisory committees that we have, can you tell us how much time these people are giving of themselves as volunteers and how much time our staff is spending on each of those committees as well?
Sure. So it's similar to our board meetings. So the meetings usually last around 2 hours, unless it's a very long meeting. And there's preparation that goes into the meetings beforehand and after in terms of preparing presentations, coordinating all of that, and then the after fact, which is the minutes and follow up. In terms of this committee, for this particular action that they take, they currently have a separate meeting just to re-rank the projects. This year we only had 4 projects and there was enough funding to cover all of them. So we said there's no point in having a separate meeting because they're all going to get funded. So no point in re-ranking.
So if anybody applies for a TA or transportation alternatives grant, which is supposed to cover bike, ped, school, and safety specifically, and it's a smaller pot of money, we're having anyone who's doing that application come to this advisory committee and present also?
Currently, yes. If there's enough projects that weren't choosing, then we request that the applicants come and present if they're able to this committee so that they can have more information and better decide how to rank them.
Okay, so then my next question is, it's kind of looking at it objectively, it's an unbalanced board right now because can you go back to that slide? So we don't have every municipality represented. We don't have fire, we don't have police. Show me the county. Okay, we have a couple of different county places. So why would subjectivity matter for an unbalanced board? Wouldn't objectivity help us avoid? So let's just say it was 39 municipality members and 1 county member. If it's subjective and you have 39 municipalities pushing for something that's a TA grant, that would be, you've lost your objectivity. But it's just looking at, because I haven't seen the members list recently, looking at it, I realized the board is not truly balanced, as it were. So why would we consider subjectivity in that case? I'm asking. Anyone have? I don't know.
You would. I think that the intent is for them to re-rank with their expertise and in the best interest for the community. But that it does allow for subjectivity, and it does allow for those that aren't in the room to have a voice to not have a say.
How often does subjectivity get in the way of pedestrian, bike, school, or safety alternative transportation opportunities?
In the last couple of years, there's been some projects that have not aligned in terms of the ranking. Sometimes the priorities are different. Sometimes the priorities of whoever's in the room, if it's more so, we really should have more, recreational trails versus this sidewalk that's needed in this community to access a school. It's up to the voices in the room. And we present both they request us to present it in their order of ranking, and we provide the scoring on the side, but I'm not sure how much time the board actually takes to notice that.
And we voted on all that ranking a while ago. Okay. So in my opinion, I would say let's stay as objective as possible, especially if we don't have a balanced board.
Any other comments? Yes.
I like both. And then we
can a man choose. Of the people.
But then that's going to create more work. So I don't know. I do have a comment regarding the time that these boards meet, which is the reason I'm having a hard time filling. It's at 1:30 downtown West Palm. It's not easy for people that work to take a half a day off to attend a committee meeting.
Mm-hmm. How often do they meet?
Once a month, right?
Yeah, the same as the board. So we take January and August and November off, but all the other months, once a month.
So that's what I've been struggling with. Every time I get somebody citizens on the hook and I tell them what the commitment is, they're like, I can't really take a half a day off. I don't know if they can push it.
An afternoon.
I don't know if they can push it to 3-4 o'clock. That might make it like you end your day out downtown. That's something for the committee themselves to look discuss. At. When I look at, I looked at a picture of your citizens, it looked like most of them are elderly, so that maybe they have more free time. But my community, it's
any college students with more.
Yeah, I wish they were college students. No, but you know, my community is it's a workforce of the county, so they're at work. Mm-hmm. So the 1:32 p.m. it's something that concerns me, and that's why I've struggled at filling that position.
Thank you for that. We can bring that. They're asking for diversity, so we can bring that as a factor to them to consider.
I think another issue we need to address is how to ensure that the committees have access to the board. I mean, there's a question of how do they get an item onto the agenda for the full board. I don't think we want individual members of these committees just, you know, piping up, I want to put something on the committee, whether it's the, you know, Boca Raton Bicycle Club or whatever. I think that we need to have a process where if the committee by a majority vote says that there's an item they'd want to be presented before the full board, that would be the appropriate way of, you know, bringing things to our attention. I'm wondering if anybody has any thoughts on that. Now?
So, and this was something that I was going to bring to this committee, but then it was, it's not part of the committee's charge. So maybe that's something that could be revisited in terms of if there's other agency related items that are not spelled out in terms of strategic plan, 561 plan, whatnot in the current charge, that that the executive director can bring to the executive committee to discuss or workshop or ask for guidance. But we recently amended the operating procedures for comments, for requests for presentations from the public, to say versus the current process was that a member from the public contacts the executive director, and then I have to talk to them on whether or not their presentation is going to be added to the board agenda, which can become conflictive if it's a random thing. So what we said was, if you're a member of the public and you want to add a presentation to the board agenda, come and make a 3-minute public comment, and then the board can say that's great, we would like a presentation at a future meeting or not. So that we did that for the public comment. For the committees, if a committee member says, we have two things that I'd like, to potentially clarify the process. One is if a committee member says, I want to add an item to an agenda, that's just like sends an email and says, I want to add an item. Currently, it's again, I think that process, they should bring it up during their committee meeting. And then the committee can say, yes, we want to add that as an agenda item. Now, if they want to bring that item to the board, then that needs to be clarified in terms of, currently it says I consult with the chair. Do you want to have this item brought to the board? It's like an external random item. Or if they as a committee said, we want this item brought to the board, then we just bring it to the board and add it to the agenda, or what that process is, what the board would like that process to be. So that's one, adding committee member, external requests from committee member agenda items. Two is sharing information. So currently there isn't a clear process if a committee member or board member, but if someone sends us an email and says, please share this with the rest of the committee, and it could be anything. We've been sharing it with the rest of the committee, but our attorney advised and just talking to other MPOs is that's not always a best practice. So they should bring that request during the meeting and say, I have X plan that I would like to share with the rest of the committee. Is it okay for the TPA to share this on my behalf versus kind of like sending an email to ask for it to be shared? So I wanted to clarify both of those processes so that they're clear in our operating procedures, but I'd love to get your feedback on that. I know it's kind of a side
Councilman. Note.
As for a committee recommendation, I think if a committee votes by majority, they want to have something brought before the board, it should come on our agenda. It shouldn't be subject to either the chair or the executive director saying, no, thank you, we don't want to hear from you. So that, to me, 50% of the committee says yes, yes. If the committee doesn't approve it, then that committee member who wants it on can come up like a public comment member, come talk to us for 3 minutes and explain to us why his committee was wrong or her committee was wrong for not voting to put it before us. Mm-hmm. And then we as a board can decide whether we want to have a presentation on that in the future.
I have no problem with that process.
And just to clarify, if the committee member emails us and says, I want to add X item onto the next committee meeting, clarifying, saying, please bring it up during your member comments, and then the committee can add it to the agenda.
Yeah, I think the member comments is the way to bring it in. I have no problem with disseminating an item to the entire board through you or through Margie that's not falling astray of sunshine, as long as there's no quote conversation. You know, we can disseminate information as long as there's not going to be an ongoing debate or conversation about that information, and allow that to be handled at the board level rather than waiting to get to the committee and then first trying to digest the information before they have a conversation. So notwithstanding Paul's concern, and Paul, I know you're listening, you want to frame the issue that's of concern to you?
And Paul, not to put you on the spot, but it was also, I talked to former MPOAC director and just kind of the guidance on it, because it's really some things may be fine, but other things may be random. So if anybody asks us to share anything, what's that determination? And is it endorsing them if we share it? I think is the concern, but Paul, I'll let you chime in.
I think you've summarized it pretty well.
So if someone says, please share my plan for the turtles and request to you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be on point. Obviously, if they send you something on, Supreme Court, ruling on abortion, that's not going to be something that's going to be before any of these committees. So let's stay focused on issues that fall within the mission of each one of these committees. You can act as the arbiter of that, and if someone disagrees and you decide that it should not be disseminated, again, they have the privilege of coming to their committee meeting and bringing it with them, and if the chair doesn't allow them to address that particular subject, they can come to the full board. Any objection to that? I think I don't think we want to be overly restrictive, but I think we also want to stay focused on what's the mission of these three committees.
Okay, so to confirm, leave as is, share information that's requested of us to share, TPA staff.
And to the issue of whether the objective scoring can be supplemented by a objective and then subjective, I have no problem, like Mayor Flores, of having both exhibits presented to us. I mean, we certainly can give more weight to the objective scoring, but understand that obviously there's some reason why they want to change the scoring for, and I'm assuming that they will make a case for that, not just send us two lists and say, you figure it out.
And that was my question. Do we get their reason for their subjective rescoring? Does that come with the list, or do they just rank it twice?
They, as a committee, re-rank and then vote on that re-ranking. But one of the points of clarification is, do you want to continue to receiving it as one table in their order that you make a motion to approve? Or do you want to see two tables with, if there is a difference in terms of here's the objective score, like rank, and here's the re-ranking based on the expertise of this committee?
I'd like to see both, and I'd like to know what the subjective criteria was that made them re-rank it, because there's got to be a reason why they decided to re-rank them out of order, and I'd like to know what that is. That should come along with the re-ranking if it doesn't already.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the burden of proof basically is on them to prove that their subjective evaluation has more weight than the objective evaluation. And again, we as a board will have both, whether it's a single exhibit with their order but the numbers next to it, or the numbers and their
reordering, whatever. I don't care if it's two exhibits or one exhibit, as long as it clearly identifies the objective order with the subjective order also identified.
And then our board needs to really pay attention to that, because like I'm saying, again, that is an unbalanced board. So let's just say you had 12 people from Parks and Rec and one person from the county that's, you know, does road stuff, and then someone from the municipality. I'm pretty sure we're going to see lots of subjective votes for Parks and Rec. Not that that's a bad or good thing, but if we're taking someone's subjective view from an unbalanced board, that must be clear to the board. This came up about a year ago, the exact issue. It was there was subjective ranking for trails. And then we also had an opportunity to fund something that was going to affect safety for a school, for a crossing. So, you know, do we want more people out on a trail? Of course we do. Do we want children to get to a school? Probably a little more so, right? So that really needs to be clarified, especially as we have, you know, board turnover, people going through elections and things like that, that they understand when this comes up. That's why, that's my only concern about subjective ranking on an unbalanced board. That's
Again, if you take a look at even this board, we're unbalanced. You know, we there are municipalities that are not being represented. So that's not a perfect balance of municipalities at this point. But
just for clarification, because I've heard both things. Would you like to continue to receive one table in their ranking with the objective scoring next to it for reference, or do you want to see two tables, one ranked in the objectives with the objective score, and then another one with their ranking?
Commissioner Marino, what do you think? No opinion.
I think your mic's off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be heard without a mic,
but that's okay. I know it's for the recording. I think the more simple, I'm not sure that's the correct English.
Simpler.
The simpler the process, the better for everyone. The more difficult we make it, the less attention is going to get paid. So I think
it's two or one?
One.
Okay. One.
With both. Okay.
So,
one
or two. So if we go by those ones, I want to interject. If we go by those standards, right, of keeping it simple, we would have never lit up all the way out to Belglade, because the FDOT decided that the study didn't warrant lighting out there. So no, I'm just saying
that one doesn't can't pair together.
Well, I'm just saying I think if somebody has an issue, and if you have the two grades and they have a good reason, then they can put that on there. I think that's just what I wanted to add. I think that'll
if it's and that's why I think the subjective is appropriate to bring to the table, not just to forestall and say, okay, it just doesn't make the top five, so it's out.
Correct. Sorry, I interrupted.
Okay.
So I'm going to kind of echo what Maria is saying, as long as it's very, very clear. That's all.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. So the simple current standard for DeVere, the TAC, is that we just move forward with objective scoring. We're going to keep that as is. And with VZAC, we're going to keep moving forward. But with VZAC, we're going to let them re-rank. TAC stays the same. They do not re-rank.
As long as it's very clear what the objective scoring would have produced, so that we can then, as a board, make a decision whether to allow them to overrule the objective with their subjective, they're going to give us, I'm assuming someone's going to show up at that meeting and make a case for why we should, go in a different direction. Obviously, Mayor Wilson was beating the band on the particular subject that Mayor Flores brought up, and he won the day after many years of fighting for that those streetlights.
Okay. The first part of the track change here is it is a track change, but it's something that they're already doing. The objective scoring system used to rank a project, that's something that they opine on, they advise on. We annually bring that to them. The second part, we're suggesting to simplify it, but if you would like no change, I would like your direction on whether you want staff time and applicant time. Those that apply to these projects to have a separate meeting for that, or if you'd rather have it be part of the regular meeting in a more concise format.
if possible.
I vote for concise.
Concise and saving staff time, please. Yes.
Please.
Ditto.
Okay.
All right. We're good. All right. Let's move on.
All right. So the motion is to recommend those track changes. I know it's not part of this, but we'll look at the process for adding an agenda item and clarify that and bring that to the next board in terms of those procedures.
Very good. 3A. Mr. Slavin, are you on board?
I'm sorry if I can interrupt, because there on the first one I was fine that there was no motion taken because we understood that you were going to bring it to the board. But this one it is a motion to recommend approval. So are you recommending approval as is or with changes? Like are you approving with the track changes or there's no changes being requested?
We're making the changes that are in red at this point.
Okay, so I need a motion to recommend approval.
I have a motion by okay. You gotta push that little button there. Okay, Commissioner Marino has made a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
I had a second by Napoleon.
I have a second by the Councilman Napoleon. All in favor, all opposed. It is approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Slavin, you're up. Did we put you to sleep?
No, actually you didn't. It was very interesting. I was very interested in the issues that you folks deal with. It's kind of fun for me to do different types of searches and learn what's going on in different fields, and that was very interesting.
You're up in the attic somewhere.
Well, I've been working up here since COVID, and I have a real office, but I don't use it. However, it's hot up here in the summer, so I'll start using the real one again. We've changed at your request the announcement and the profile draft language and the job description that is your document. I think it's been modified, and from what I understand from Margie, I think it's been approved by at least a majority of you. What I would like to see you do is just say, go ahead and get this thing out there and start this search. Oh. You're ready to do that this week. If there are other changes that need to be made, then
make a motion. We go
push your button.
It is.
No, it's not. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm sorry. Hold on a second, Bob. Commissioner Marino would like to interrupt and make a comment.
Right. I do know that I there were a couple of Scribner's errors that I forwarded to Margie, I think, but correct. That's not what's on this that you handed us.
No, it was my understanding at the last meeting that you approved what we put, was in front of you with the requested changes. And that once we got the email okay from everybody, we could post. We got 3 of 5. So now we have the finals. I sent him the final clean versions today with your additional changes that you sent on Friday. And to our understanding, we can move forward. But since we had a meeting today, we just wanted to be sure.
Let's go forward. I make a motion. We go ahead and get this thing rolling.
Right away. All right. We've got
the nice part about it is that we haven't started at all. So it doesn't look like we've had a false start, but it's time. And we'll get it out, and I'll keep you folks informed either biweekly or more often. And I'll let you know what we're accomplishing, and I'll let you know if we're having problems.
Could you give us a timeline as to what we can expect going forward?
The announcement will go out sometime this week, and we'll start getting what in essence is a classified ad. We'll start getting responses right away. I think I've talked about this before. That part of that process of recruiting, we used to take 90 days. And from 90 days from the time you approve the announcement to be made, to be posted, to the time that you're interviewing candidates. We're trying to shorten that. And we're trying to shorten it not because we don't think we can do it in 90 days, but because we're in a very competitive environment right now, and we start losing good. If good people apply early, we'll lose them if we wait 60 days for them for a final filing period. So a long way of answering your question is I don't know. It will not be any longer than 90 days. Hopefully it'll be shorter, and it'll be shorter because we'll have good people.
Okay, so can you explain the process to us as far as will you be coming to the executive committee meetings to give us updates? Are we going to be getting emails with resumes? What's the actual process going to look like?
I'll watch for the Either way you want me to do that, I typically come to meetings. The issue, and it always is a major issue in Florida, and that is confidentiality. I mean, you can't impose it, because anything on my desk here in Georgia is a public record in Florida. But if people don't know those records are on my desk, they don't ask for them. There will very likely be candidates who will be happily employed now and will have a concern about their names being made public too early. So we've got to manage that. And I need your help to do that. So I don't know exactly what we'll be up against. Could be that nobody will care about that kind of level of confidentiality, but I'll almost guarantee you that that will not be the case. And it's pretty obvious. If you don't want your folks applying for jobs, and you certainly don't want to be reading that they've done that in the local newspaper. So I will be there. We'll figure out a way for me to communicate with you. I can't communicate with each of you and develop a decision as a collective decision, but I can talk with each of you so you each know what I know. And then as long as you don't make a decision, it's the attorney needs to address the issue also. If as long as you know what I know and know that everything's going well, I can keep moving it forward with it. And until I shorten the list, there's really nothing particularly newsworthy.
A question, I guess, and I'm sort of asking the vice chair to yield a second. We have a meeting on June 6th. What do we have as a deliverable on June 6th?
Hopefully we'll have, we'll certainly have the announcement. We'll have, there may be some summary resume, Mr. Chairman, without names on them, but if we do... I guess the best answer to your question is I really don't know yet, because I don't know what we're going to be up against. If we have candidates who are not concerned, you can have any resume you want from me, because everything I own is for this work is yours. But the bottom line is to get the best candidate to you folks for our interview so you can make the best decision possible. I don't know how that's going to unfold. Anything I have that is not controversial, I have no objection whatsoever to bringing it to you and making it public. But one of the things I do in order to get people who might be more reluctant to apply is have them apply to me without mentioning your name on them. If they send me a resume with a request for me to review it, and I happen to know that they want me to review it for the TPA, and it doesn't mention you on it, it's mine, not yours. So I can keep that in the front of our file and work with that. Not trying to be in any way less than fully open about this or transparent, but my job is to get you the best people possible in front of you so that you can interview and make a good decision. I've got to work that out. And what you'll hear from me on the 6th of June or whenever it is where I am, what's going on, and what opportunities we have at that point. And I'll ask you for more advice.
Well, again, our legislature here in Florida has recognized this weakness in soliciting candidates for presidents of universities, and they have exempted them from sunshine. But unfortunately, we are restricted. I think if we can see something with that unique identifying information on it, so we at least know what kind of applicants you're receiving, that would certainly help us in June. Margie, did you have a comment?
Yes, I have two requests, and then, well, I guess two requests. The first one is that if I can receive clarification that once it's posted, I can share that with the full board, that the position has been posted, and if they want to share it as well.
Absolutely. I see no objection to that. Anybody? No?
Okay.
Fine.
And then the second one is, to my understanding, and I'm going to get I think it was the March meeting, I believe that you wanted weekly updates from Mr. Slavin, and I can schedule meetings so that we can have weekly check-ins to make sure we're still progressing towards a deliverable by June 6th.
To be frank, I don't think there's going to be anything to report until June 6th at the beginning. I mean, as we get into this process, maybe weekly, but I would say if the first 30 days, it's probably going to be pretty slow as far as anything really being reported. So at this point, unless anybody objects, I would say let's just wait until June 6th for our first report.
Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Slavin?
If anything happens to me now and then you need to know about it, you'll hear about it.
Okay, very good. Anything else, anybody?
I do. So
can you hear Mayor Flores?
I guess my question is, other than you're going to give us an update, and I'm assuming it's going to say that you're collecting names, what else are we going to be doing? Anything, approving anything? I don't believe so, right?
Well, right now we've approved the job description. Mrs. Slavin is now posting it.
Right.
We're going to start getting hopefully some people who would like to be considered.
Right.
Ms. Slavin will tell us the number of applications or contacts he's received, and we can get some sort of generalized overview of the credentials these people are bringing to the table. We'll keep the identifying information off, at least at this juncture, and then see what we want to do going forward.
And we're not putting a deadline on application right now. It's open until we decide to close the window. Is that what
I think what we need doing? To leave it open ended.
Open till filled, and with a admonition that we're going to move it as forward as soon as we get sufficient quantity of quality resumes. So if you're interested, apply early on.
So then we could potentially close the window at that June 6th.
Once we see the person we want, we can just shut this thing down and call it a day. Okay.
That's right. And there are a couple of reasons for leaving it open until filled, and that's one of them. The other one is, if we're not successful, we don't have to reopen it. If we have some arbitrary date out there that we haven't at which we haven't been successful, we just leave it open and keep working. We don't just announce; we actually go out and find folks. Okay. Myself and my staff will take the information that you just approved today, translate that into a focus process through which we'll find people who meet that criteria, and we'll identify where they are. We'll cast a pretty wide net, and then we'll narrow it to those who meet the criteria the most. Probably focus most immediately, earlier in the process, on Florida and the Southeast, but go as far beyond that as we need to in order to make sure we have a good quality choice of candidates.
All right. And I'm just going to reemphasize what we said last meeting. This is taking a long time. It's a little frustrating. I think the five of us and the board in general would like to see this chapter come to a conclusion. Since the resignation of our former executive director, we are moving forward with an interim executive director, but she is somehow held back in really moving on issues that she probably would like to, with the consideration that she may not be the full-time executive director. So I think that the agency will be better served the sooner we can get this resolved versus letting this go on for an indeterminate period of time.
I'm glad you made the statement you did, Mayor, because there is already a feeling, if you will, that the job is set up. Having you go on record publicly saying what you just did makes it a statement in favor of it's not that it is still open, regardless of where the truth is, and that it's very hard to recruit people for jobs jobs that they're happy in and. And are not particularly looking for a job if, in fact, they know or suspect that the job they're applying for is already filled.
Look, obviously, your applicants will know that the interim director is probably putting her application in, and so they recognize the reality of the situation. But I think that we are open to the best candidate, and I think that that is what the board has charged us with doing, which is working with you to bring forward the best candidate possible to fill this position.
That's all I ask. Because we have internal candidates, probably 55-60% of our work. And frequently they're actually hired, but we're able to get good people to apply and compete with them. So thank you, folks.
Very good. Thank you, Mrs. Slavin. We'll look forward to hearing from you next month.
We'll talk to you next month or before.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have anything before I dismiss Mr. Slavin?
No.
Oh. Okay. All right. You're excused.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. That's pretty much everything I had. I'll open it up for anybody who has anything at this moment they may want to raise. I'm seeing no race to the buttons as we have over in the commission chamber. So our next meeting, as I just announced, will be June 6th. We'll be back here again and hopefully at 2 p.m. have something to talk about as far as a potential applicant for this position. With that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting and thank you very much for attending.